Yoga slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. And you continue from where we stop. Turn to page 198.
Bodhi Heart Sutra class 1.1. Let things be, then investigate. When random thoughts arise, do not react, suppress, or try to control them. Just let things be and flow with them. Then investigate and find out what happens when you do that. You will come to understand that they are just thoughts which come and go according to your mental conditioning. You will also come to understand that when your five mental hindrances are around, you are not peaceful. And when the five spiritual faculties are there, they will counter the five mental hindrances, and you are then naturally peaceful. No matter what happens, do not try to control or suppress thoughts. Only through understanding you free your mind, not through the doing via the thought, which is egoic. You must investigate why you are like that and why you are not peaceful. The essential Dharma as taught by the Buddha will enable us to see the dangers of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the importance of heedfulness, and the importance of following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping the precepts. Do good and purify the mind while cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path until one is awakened. Similarly, one will also see the importance of cultivating Dana, Sila, and Bhavana based on the right view with regards to the three important spiritual laws, Karma Niyama, Citta Niyama, Dharma Niyama, that govern all of our life and existence, so as to understand and see the full picture of the Dharma cultivation clearly. Part 2 Heart Sutra Lesson 40 2.1 The 10 Dharma Realms. The Buddhist cosmology consists of the 10 Dharma realms. First four realms are the realms of the saints and enlightened ones, and they are 1. The realm of the Buddha. 2.
Chu Fa Jian.
2. The realm of the Bodhisattva.
Bu Sa Fa
3. The realm of the conditioned enlightened ones.
Yuan Jie Fa Jian.
4. The realm of the sound hearers, Sen Wen Fa Jian.
Yes.
The other six realms are the realms of the living beings, subjected to birth and death, and they are equivalent to the 31 planes of existence within the Theravada tradition. They are the realm of the heavenly beings,
Tien
Tianren
Fa Jian,
Fan
ah, Tien Ren Fa Jian,
Fa Jian.
yes.
2. The realm of human beings,
Ren
Ren
Fa
Dao
Jian,
Fa Jian.
Ren Dao Fa Jian,
Ren Dao Fa Jian. 3. The realm of demons,
Ah, Su Lo Fa Jian,
Asyura Fa Jian. 4. The realm of animals, Chu
Chu
Shen
Sen,
Fa
Chu
Jian.
Sen,
Chu Shen Fa Jian. 5. The realm of the hungry ghosts, Er Gui Fa
Ah.
Jian. 6. The realm of hells,
地
地狱
狱法
法界。
界，
Some of the great Bodhisattvas like 观音菩萨、文殊菩萨、普贤菩萨 and Earthstorm 地藏王菩萨 have already fulfilled their 10 perfections to become Sammasambuddha, but due to their great compassion and love for the living beings, they have used their great vows to continue to come and save living beings. Just like Earthstorm Bodhisattva, one of his vows is that if hell is not empty of living beings, he will not become a Sammasambuddha. 2.2 Law of Dependent Origination or Paticca-samuppada. The first link is ignorance. Ignorant of what? The true realities of life and existence, i.e., the lack of right views with regards to the law of karma, four noble truths, and the law of cause and effect or dependent origination. One major aspect of ignorance is sakkayaditti or self-delusion. This is the sole culprit that conditions our grasping and holding onto all the creations of the mind as real and trying to own and possess them. Upon understanding clearly via meditation that there is no I and me or Atta within these five aggregates of form and mind of ours, then there is no more wrong view or self-delusion to grasp or to cling onto the phenomena world of consciousness created by the mind. With this wisdom, the form and mind can be free of all suffering. Because of this ignorance or wrong view, living beings think a lot, and thinking arises because they don't understand what is going on in life. So, wanting to know and wanting to understand life, the living beings create more thinking or sankhara, hence becoming more heedless. As mind is also an organ of thoughts, so this thinking creates contact to trigger off mental consciousness or vinaya. Then, within this vijnana, there is the mental form that enters the mind via perception or sanya, hence arise the five mental aggregates of form and mind or nama rupa. Please read the blue book, Dharma Discussion Transcript on the Law of Dependent Origination dated May 2008, based on a direct transcript from a recorded talk as given by me on 8th of September 2005 for a more detailed explanation of all the other links. Part 3 Meditation 3.1 I can be at peace with itchiness, but not with pain. Why? Question 1 Brother Theo, why is it while in meditation, I can be at peace with most things like itchiness, etc., but only not with pain? Brother Theo answered, if you can endure itchiness, you should be able to endure pain also, because they are quite similar. It is the result of understanding while meditation. Not being at peace with pain could be due to your inability to relax into it via acceptance. That is, your mind have negative craving to push away that so-called painful sensation that you have labeled to be so, hence giving it the strength to become a hindrance of your mind, ill will. Your mind wants things your way, hence conditioning suffering in the mind when you cannot get what you want. You have to silence your mind and investigate, then you will understand what is going on. Meditation is to be done with understanding and not just to endure that pain without understanding. Inquire, why am I not peaceful and not silent? Understand the importance of the five spiritual faculties that are needed to counter the five hindrances of mind and the danger of allowing the hindrance of mind to be around. Then the answer will come to you through an understanding, and then you will know what to do. Try to just relax into the sensation and not labeling it as such to see what happens. Develop wisdom to free. Always remember, only wisdom frees. For the first Heart Sutra class, Part 2 Heart Sutra Lesson 43, Emptying the Four Truths, page 91 to 98, 2.1 Definition. Way is path, extension is cessation. The seven mental factors of enlightenment, Satta Bhujanga, are: number 1, Sati, mindfulness or awareness; 2, Dhamma Vichaya, Dhamma investigation; 3, Viriya, spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma; 4, Piti, spiritual joy, calmness or rapture; 5, Pasati, tranquility, still mind or silent mind without thought. Mind already trained. Initially, it can still stir because the latent tendencies or anusaya are not rooted out as yet. 6, Samadhi, a collected and unwavering mind that can see things as they are. 7, Upeka, equanimity of mind, born of wisdom. No more grasping or clinging or steering of mind, and feeling at the moment of sense door contact will remain as pure feeling because there is wise attention or uniso manasikara. Similarly for perception, sankara, consciousness, etc. For the arahants, their five aggregates of form and mind are pure aggregates and non-grasping because of their wisdom. Their mind cannot get into trouble anymore because the arahants are no longer deluded. Understand the non-self or anatta nature of our form and mind. Then there will be no more delusion to condition us into dukkha. When your grasping arises, you cease to have the enlightenment thought. The arahants still have outflow of thoughts, but no more ignorance. The wisdom is enough to liberate them from birth and death of their segmented life. the five aggregates of form and mind. 2.2, the four noble truths, Chattari Ariya Sacca. Number 1, dukkha, suffering. 2, samudaya, cause of arising of dukkha. 3, nirodha, extinction or cessation of all dukkha, nibbana. 4, magga, the way or path, noble eightfold path, leading to the cessation of all dukkha. Part 3, meditation. 3.1. Now I understand that pain is just another negative expression of the feeling that I dislike, so I just relax and let it be without any aversion. Question 1. Brother Theo, since the Kamra Highlands retreat, I am able to feel the different mind states in meditation, especially pain and other subtle emotions. Now I understand that pain is just another negative expression of the feeling that I dislike, so I just relax and let it be without any aversion towards it. The mind is now more at peace, and because of that, it effortlessly drops to the heart. And when this happens, there are no more obstacles, and I feel hollow and free, neither feeling the energy nor anything for that matter. I am then able to sit much longer without any feeling of numbness or pain anymore in the legs. Brother Theo answered, this is very good understanding, leading to a very good meditative experience that can stabilize one's insight. Most cultivators make the mistake of reacting to the tactile sensation that arises and label it as pain because of their mind's aversion towards that sensation. They do it without knowing that the moment they label it as pain, then a mental hindrance, ill will, has arisen. This mental hindrance of ill will hinder the mind from becoming peaceful. The lack of peace will condition the meditator to try to note and or focus and concentrate the mind to push away the pain so as to become more peaceful. This is introducing thought into the meditation, hence no more heedfulness, because the doing of meditation is by the thought, which is actively trying to meditate to become peaceful. This is not knowing that you are already peaceful the moment you are silent and aware, without thought, to just understand the truth and the reality of what is happening within the moment. You will start to understand how the form and mind can be conditioned into reacting to sense experiences via its own sakaya ditti or self-delusion, to grasp onto the five aggregates of form and mind as the I and the me. This is real insight born of sati that can see things as they are and understand what is going on there and then without any thought thinking. Under Vedana Nupassana, the Buddha said, when there is feeling, whether pleasant, unpleasant or neutral, you must be aware. This awareness will enable you to understand how your mind, via its own wrong views and opinions or self-delusion, reacts to the sensation and label it as pleasant and unpleasant sensation, or like and dislike, leading to the first two hindrances of mind. These hindrances of mind, which are sensual desire and ill will are also part of the evil roots of greed and hatred. The moment the mind is aware of self-delusion, the mind can just relax into the moment without any reaction. Meditation is not just about good, comfortable, peaceful, and beautiful meditation. It is about the development of wisdom to enable the mind to deal with all life situations without having to experience any more mental suffering. 3.2. Understanding the five ways to overcome the five mental hindrances and unwholesome thoughts that have arisen is also very important. The first two ways are, 1. Think of the direct opposite, wholesome thoughts. 2. Contemplate the consequences or danger of holding or clinging on to these unwholesome or wrong thoughts. These two ways are still thought-based meditation, but they are important, skillful means that can help the cultivator to overcome the unwholesome thoughts via the first two efforts, whereas the third and fourth ways are meditative training, as taught by the Buddha, to help the cultivator develop the wisdom needed to free the mind from such unwholesome thoughts. This is especially so for the third way. 3. The Buddha said, just silence your mind and don't do anything. Then the mind will settle down on its own to return to its natural state of silence and stillness before the stirring conditioned by one's self-delusion. This understanding can lead to profound wisdom. Just like J. Krishnamurti's famous quote, the very flowering of the unwholesome thought, like anger, etc., is the very ending of that thought. 4. Then the Buddha wire is fourth way, train the cultivator to develop true understanding or wisdom while tracing its origination factors and retrospectively reverse it via understanding to liberate the mind. The origination of these unwholesome thoughts is always via one of the sense doors consciousness, especially the seeing, hearing, and thought consciousness sense doors. When we understand the cause behind the steering of the mind, then we should contemplate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, especially the second turning, until the wisdom is very stable and clear, so that the next time when we confront similar seeing or hearing or thought consciousness situations, we will not be deluded by them anymore and can have wisdom to deal with the situation. The ability to silence the mind and to accept the reality of the moment without any reaction or judgment is wisdom. Then to be able to use this clarity of awareness or heedfulness to investigate the truth and characteristics of all phenomena in our daily life is a true is true meditation. The ability to accept the reality of all sensations, feelings is also wisdom. The mind can only understand what is going on via just a silent inner awareness to observe the truth and the reality of the moment without any suppression or control of any emotion, i.e. just allowing it to flower to develop the wisdom that comes with it. Use the mind sweeping method combined with metta to decondition your heedless thinking so that your mind can be trained to be in a state of relaxed, silent inner awareness to be heedful to meditate. This heedfulness will be able to investigate clearly how the tactile consciousness really comes to be. You just silence your mind to be aware to investigate the truth and the reality of the moment, and you will understand how they arise and pass away with every moment of arising of the tactile consciousness. You can then be aware of the cooling sensation to understand clearly how the form and mind function. There is always a knowing element that can be aware of the cooling sensation phenomena that has arisen. The awareness or mind moment is always moment to moment, hence no reality at all, because they are all conditioned arising mental phenomena, consciousness only, but due to your self-delusion, you will grasp and cling onto them, hence conditioning your suffering via your wrong view. This understanding is very important to enable one to break free from the concept of self or self-delusion. 3.3. Meditation is not about right and wrong. Question 2. Brother Theo, when I meditate, I don't feel any pain, but I am aware of thoughts. When aware, I tell myself to be silent and go back to Anapanasati. Is that correct? Brother Theo answered, meditation is not about right and wrong, but it is more towards realizing wisdom that can free our mind from all suffering. When you are just silent and aware, you are heedful, and in that heedful state, you can develop a lot of understanding while observing your own form and mind without any judgment or comment. You only need to continue doing Anapanasati when you need to train your mind to be aware so that it is not heedless. Once your heedfulness has already stabilized, technically you don't need to hold on to the Anapanasati training anymore. Similarly for the mind sweeping and metta exercises too, for they are just skillful means to train the mind. The key is relaxation of both the body and mind, followed by the silent mind, leading to a tranquil state of mind that has clarity and awareness within, to see things as they are thereby realizing the wisdom. So meditation has four important supports, and they are relax, aware, 24 hours continuity, and trust. The key to meditation is awareness or sati, which is also the first factor of enlightenment. With awareness, you can develop the understanding of why your mind is like that, how it is conditioned to react to sense experiences via your wrong and deluded views and opinions of things. That is Dharma investigation. Inquire deep into who is doing the meditation. What is the I and the me all about? Why did the Buddha say it is Sakkaya Ditti or self-delusion? Why are the thoughts so active, judgmental, and intrusive? And why can't they just let things be? The moment you are aware, the Dharma will come to you. Understand it and awaken to it. Relax and be with the moment in silent awareness to experience all the beauty of life and existence. Once you realize, you will know how to accord and flow. Then you will not be afflicted anymore. Hence, life becomes very meaningful and very beautiful. All this can be understood if you are not deluded. See how your attachment and craving arise during your meditation when you lack wisdom. Most cultivators attach to the good and calm meditation. They hold on to all the things that their mind has created via their consciousness and is content, not knowing these things are all impermanent and empty, thus causing suffering the moment they grasp onto them. Through this Dharma sharing, you can develop wisdom much faster. Otherwise, it will take you a long time to understand the full picture of the cultivation yourself. These short notes are very useful, and all of you must read them again and again to stabilize your understanding. Similarly, for the recorded talks, you must listen to them again and again to develop the clear understanding of the Dharma shared. This is how you can progress along the path of Dharma.
Okay, very good. So we more or less finished the Heart Sutta book. Now it's only the appendix. Huh? So the appendix, I think, is useful. The Heart Sutta section, I think we have gone through at the opening introduction place. So the Heart Sutta is about a very profound wisdom sutta. They call it a prajna paramita. Paramita is perfection. Prajna is wisdom. So it's a perfection of wisdom sutta. The reason it's called that is because it summarizes all that you need to know to develop wisdom. So how he summarizes is he let you understand that this five aggregate of form and mind when he Kuan Yin Bodhisattva was developing the meditative training, the awareness nature illuminated the five aggregates, then saw that they were all empty, means completely no meaning. Like we used to share, not only the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, the empty nature of existence, no reality. So the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma, Kuan Yin realized. So when he realized, he told Sariputta, the unconditioned Dhamma. That's why when the description came, a lot of Theravada tradition cannot understand. Because what the Heart Sutta mentioned is, in true emptiness, all this doesn't exist. This is the unconditioned Dhamma. Then within the conditioned Dhamma, he also told Sariputta, he said, Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness, and emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So two are the other aggregates of feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness. Why did Kuan Yin mention that? Well, when he illuminated the five khanda, he realized, like what I explained to you, yeah? He saw the form, the unreality of form, then he see beyond form. Then he see the other aggregate of mind, again, the unreality of mind. The unreality means it come and it go, dependent originating, impermanent. And because of that, he saw that all these entities are conditioned arising entity. That's why he see mind, the unreality of mind. Your mind make are they, then they are all dependent originating, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why with that, she see beyond mind. Then she realized the enlightenment, the cessation of form and mind. Then after that, the unconditioned become clear to her. Then she told Sariputta, he said, therefore, in true emptiness, when you realize that all of the conditioned Dhamma that you have studied, they don't exist. That's why there is no form, no feeling, cognition, formation, or consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, body and mind, no sight, sound, means the 18th sense line, they don't exist. Or ignorant, and the ending of ignorant, up to including old age, and no old age and death, or the ending of old age and death. So that one is unconditioned number. You cannot find in the unconditioned. But the conditioned world, there is such thing as liberation from birth and death. There is birth, there is death, there is born over truth, everything. That's why here, the perfection of Wisdom Sutta, the Heart Sutta, the profound Prajna Paramita Sutta is a very unique sutta. So here the description of the unconditioned is very good. Then he said there is no form of two, no suffering, no accumulation of suffering, no cessation, and no path leading to the cessation. Then no understanding, no attaining, where nothing is attained. Then the Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid. That's why that nature understands. He can live in the conditioned world, no more problem. And with the unconditioned understanding, he can actually live life, fully understand life. So that's the reason why this sutta is very special. Eh? So if you want to have affinity with Kuan Yin, you must recite what they call the mantra of this Prajna Paramita. So the mantra of this Prajna Paramita is, we haven't chant this. Who know how to chant this? The standard one. Is there any in the internet? Gate, gate, para gate, para sam gate, bohi swaha. So if you chant this, you can create affinity Kuan Yin too. Okay, then the Ta Pei Chou, all those things we have recited, so we can skip. Okay, Appendix 3, Lesson 5 of the Satipatthana Sutta and Meditation Class. Now this one is very important. Actually, this Lesson 5, we only spend about 1 hour plus. No? But so much teaching came out. You know how many pages? 210 to 237 means 27 pages. And this is the note that Brother Song brought to Wat Ma Cham, Acha Ananda. And when he has a condition to connect, when the mantra of was it Pu Xian or Kuan Sui? The Heart Sutta means Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then he suddenly transformed, connect. Then he read this appendix 3, wow, everything become clear to him. That's why after that he got so much joy. And he has read this so many times. That's why when you have affinity, no need to bring the whole book. He only bring chapter appendix 3. Yeah. So this one, Manuel, you continue. Huh?
Okay.
Once we finish this one, I think we are almost done. Yeah? So maybe tonight we will go to appendix 5 and 6. Huh? Then after that, hopefully I can finish by today. I want to teach you appendix 6, which is most important, training the mind. The Trinity Triangle and all those things. Yeah. Okay. Then hopefully if we finish today, tomorrow we got more time. Then I can go into the other book. What is the difference between awareness and consciousness? Then we spend more time on Q&A, interaction, develop further understanding. Okay? Okay, Maya.
1.0, pure land chanting. Is it meditation? 1.1, developing the five spiritual faculties. Just like what Sister Monica said, chanting is also one of the methods or techniques or skillful means used to anchor your mind. But the pure land type of chanting is more than that. Because in the pure land tradition, they have this great faith in the Buddha and the Bodhisattva that they chant, and due to the great vows of this Buddha and Bodhisattva, it can arise the causes and conditions for them to develop the very strong faith to connect to their vows. Their vows are very heavy and powerful because of their great virtues, wisdom and perfections. Hence, all these vows can become part of nature's laws and they will manifest and respond on their own. That is, you don't need to have the Buddhas or Guanyin Bodhisattva to be all over the places to listen to you and respond. Because of the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas' great vows, if you chant with understanding and you do it sincerely with very strong faith, it can help you to develop a very strong affinity with their nature, and such faith and affinity will connect you to their vows. And their vows will bring forth the causes and conditions to assist you to progress along the path of Dharma and help you develop the five spiritual faculties needed for you to develop the meditation. 1.2, leading to heedful living. You may see them like only chanting, chanting and chanting, but in actual fact, they are training their mind to be heedful. Why? Mindfulness of the Buddha's name. Their faith in the Buddha's name will arise the strong sadha due to the repeated chanting with understanding, leading to the viriya, spiritual zeal. Then, together with the sati developed via chanting, walking and bowing, reverence, salutation, it will bring forth the sati and samadhi needed to develop the clear mind, which is the meditative or silent mind without thoughts, to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom, which is the last of the five spiritual faculties. When sati and samadhi are established, then during every moment of their daily living, when they see, hear, smell, taste and feel something, they will be very different because they will be no longer heedless like before. Instead, they will be heedful most of the time, and their mind are very peaceful, calm, and just aware without thought, hence clarity of mind most of the time. And this is possible because they hold their mantra with faith, and they do it very sincerely and diligently. 1.3, overcoming the five mental hindrances leading to direct seeing. To develop the meditation, we only need to develop these five spiritual faculties, which will help us overcome the five mental hindrances that hinder one from becoming peaceful and mindful. These five mental hindrances, you don't have to fight them, control or suppress them, or worry about them, because once these five spiritual faculties of sadha, viriya, sati, samadhi and panya are there, the hindrances will cease to be, and then the mind with sati and samadhi will have the clarity to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom, panya. Then their mind is no longer heedless, and they will no longer see things with a conditioned mind, i.e. no more seeing with their views and opinions, and the egoic mind, and their thoughts will no longer interfere with the direct seeing, which will lead to which will lead, lead to the awakening, understanding, and the enlightenment. They will see the dependent origination within their own form and mind. They will start to understand the Four Noble Truths on their own. Then they will start to see clearly what the Buddha meant by the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculties. They will also see clearly the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion within their own mundane mind, and why the Buddha called them evil roots. They will also come to understand how the seven factors of enlightenment come to be and how their sense bases actually function, i.e. how upon contact consciousness and feeling comes to be, and because they have sati and samadhi, they will also have the ability to see clearly how through delusion one is conditioned into negativity, grasping, clinging, and attachment, then how suffering comes to be. Then, when they are just silent and aware, they will come to understand how the arising of the non-arisen hindrance of mind comes to be. Then later on, when they continue to be just silent and aware, they will come to know how the disappearance or abandoning of the arisen hindrance comes to be. Then how through non-delusion, they will know how the non-arising in the future of the abandoned hindrance come to be, and how all these are possible. This is how they will cultivate the Satipatthana, or four foundation of mindfulness.
So this part, I already explained, this is the fourth foundation, mindfulness of Dhamma. And this one is the first category of practice. The Buddha mentioned, you must develop mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. And what they all read inside there, they cannot understand. And they teach differently. You see, what the Buddha meant is, mindfulness of Dhamma, they go and interpret as what? Mindfulness of what? They use the word mental object. Understand? You can check a lot of commentaries, they use that one. But the word Dhamma is Dhamma, understand? So the five category of practice, they are all Dhamma, understand? First category of Dhamma is a hindrance. Why must you be mindful of the mental hindrance? The second category is the five aggregate. Why must you be mindful of that? The third category is what? Mindfulness of what? Six internal sense bases and the six external sense is to understand how you function as a human being, how the 18 sense right come about. That's why I came to know how I know the world, how I interact with the world. Then I came to know how I function as a human being. Then I saw the Paticchasamuppanna. Then after that, when you have all this understanding, the seven factors of enlightenment will keep on arising. That's why mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment is natural. Then you know you're on the right path. Otherwise, the enlightenment factor won't arise. True or not? So, after the seven factor of enlightenment arrive, means it can bring about enlightenment in that. Then the last category of mindfulness is what? Mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, to let you understand all of life, both mundane and supramundane. You now understand. Then the most important one is the Four Noble Truths. They have their three turnings. So when you have mindfulness, you can understand the three turnings. You look at the Theravada tradition, the book. How many people understand the three turnings? How they link to the three types of corresponding wisdom, they also don't know. The book never writes. There are two monks who talk about the three turnings, but based on their understanding, quite superficial. Because the real contemplation, they also cannot explain. The second turning wisdom, how to do it and all the same. Then the third turning, the direct seeing one all. Very few people understand. Then this teaching is in the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, when the Buddha met the five ascetic. But hardly any Theravada teacher or monk or master teach about it. So what I have described here is the first category of the Dhammanupassana fourth foundation, mindfulness of Dhamma. So the first category of Dhamma is the five mental hindrances. Why must you be aware of the five mental hindrances? Exactly as stated in the sutta. So what I have written here is to guide you along how to overcome the five mental hindrances leading to direct seeing. So I started with the essential Dhamma, means you only need to develop the five spiritual faculty to counter the mental hindrance. You don't have to fight them, you don't have to suppress them, you don't have to control them. So this one is something you must understand. Then how do you do it? With the spiritual faculty, the mind with sati and samadhi will have the clarity to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom. This is how you become mindful, how you go into it. Then in between that one, Manjuan already explained. Then their mind is no longer heedless, which when they can have the direct seeing, they understand. And they will no longer see things with the conditioned mind, means your brain, understand not? Your memory, your conditioning. That is no more seeing with the views and opinion and the egoic mind, and their thought will no longer interfere with the direct seeing. You understand not? It don't keep over and come and tell you, hey, this one not like that. No? Why you think like that? So a lot of this chattering in the brain, the mundane mind, no more. Which will lead to the awakening, the understanding, and the enlightenment. They will see the dependent origination, the dwelling within their own form and mind. They will start to understand the Four Noble Truths on their own, no need teacher. No. Because when they see Paticchasamuppanna, they understand Four Noble Truths. Then they will start to see clearly what the Buddha meant by the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculties. They will also understand the three evil roots. They will also come to understand the seven factor enlightenment. They will arise. Come to be and how their sense bases actually function. Means you come to understand how you function as a human being. That is how upon contact, feeling and consciousness come to be, then the content went in. All this is possible where they have sati and samadhi. They will also have the ability to see things clearly. Means to see clearly how delusion is the one that conditioned them into negativity, grasping, clinging, attachment, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. So all these, how they come about the suffering, they will know. Then when they just silence their mind and aware, what they do? Silent, aware. This is awareness-based training. That's why you must have the ability to be silent and aware. Then they will come to understand what? How the arising of the non-arisen hindrance come to be. You understand not? The first mental hindrance is what? Sensual desire, then ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. How each and every of these that has not arisen, how they come to be. They will come to know. Because before you have the hindrance, they are none. Then when the spiritual faculty is there, they don't have the hindrance. But when the spiritual faculty is not there, then they arise. So how they arise? Because they are mindful, they know it's from the senses where they have done the mindfulness. So from the senses, upon contact, the Paticchasamuppanna, they input the content, they stir with wrong view, then it trigger off the evil roots that condition the mental hindrance. Then you cannot be in the state of meditative peace and inner calmness and inner awareness. So when you are aware, then you come to know how it arises. So what must you do? You must retrospectively reverse it through wisdom, understand? So the third way and the fourth way is what you need to do. When the mental hindrance arise, just like qi wei, sloth and torpor, sleepy mind or lethargic mind or whatever, even sensual desire is the same. You just silence your mind, develop awareness, be with it, stay with it. Then it ceases. After it ceases, what happens? Then later on, when they continue to just silent and aware, they will come to know how the disappearance or abandoning of the arisen hindrance come to be. This is the cultivation. If you don't know how to cultivate like that, it will not cease. Then when it ceases, there is an understanding inside, you know, that this mental hindrance that arise, they are dependent originating, you know, conditioned through your senses, you know, and input the content through your views, opinion, which are wrong view, you know, due to sakkaya ditti. So you understand. Then how they cease to be? By being aware and don't do anything. Because when you are aware, you don't feed it with any more wrong view, understand? No? You don't feed it with any more delusion. That's why the mind, paticca samuppada, cannot move. Avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya namaru. Namaru is where you input the content oneself. So if you got wisdom, you can see how this content trigger out the sense basis to have contact, then contact condition feeling, feeling condition craving. So it's due to your wrong view. So when your wrong view is still there, you still got aversion, you still got unhappiness, you still stir your mind, then how can it be peaceful? That's why develop mindfulness, awareness, silence your mind. Then, because it is dependent originating, all the five hindrances, any of them, they will cease to be. Like the Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of that emotion or thought is the very ending of that emotion or thought. Then, you suddenly realize tranquility, stillness inside your heart there. Then what happened? That wisdom is very powerful, you know. Means that emotion that arises through the hindrance is not you, understand? Now? They are dependent originating. When condition is there for it to arise, it arises. Then when you continue to deludedly sustain the condition, then it becomes intensified, understand? Now? Like you want to fight it. Fighting it is what? Resisting it, understand? Not accepting it. So you create more aversion, more hindrance. Then you try to suppress. The thought is actively do all these things. How can you be mindful? It will not cease. So you cannot develop the understanding. But with mindfulness, the understanding is there. Then after that, what happened? You will know how the disappearance or abandoning of the arisen hindrance come to be. Then how through non-delusion, because you develop the understanding, right? You know that it's not a permanent unchanging, it's dependent on it, it's not you. So you do not fear the mental hindrance or any of the sankhara mind state, can be fear or anger or whatever. So when there is no more delusion, you will come to know how in the future the non-arising of this abandoned mental hindrance means impossible for it to arise already. That is the real satipatthana, mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. Then the five aggregate also said to see that they have the characteristics of impermanent, not a permanent unchanging entity. When you grasp, you cling, you suffer. And to really develop the clear movement and see it in your silent mind, you must do mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases to actually see. But this one is only required for people who don't have the wisdom from the past. Because when I have the wisdom from the past, I already know the senses and the self. So I don't really have to do. Because the senses is so clear to me. The consciousness, the perception, the content. All this I already developed in the past. So I don't have to do the third category, understand? I can straight away go into the first and the second. Then the fourth I can skip also. Well, I know all these are enlightenment factors, right? Then the last category, mindfulness of the four noble truth and its three turning, automatic. Well, before I do all this, the four noble truth I already understand. The three turning I already understand. So when it comes to that, I just bridge through. Understand? Huh? That's why when I share the Satipatthana Sutta, the last chapter, the whole summary of it, you can read that book. So much thing inside there. So this is how actually mindfulness can help you develop the wisdom and the understanding. Without sati, without mindfulness, you cannot be heedful. And if you are not heedful, the heedless are as if they. Okay? Yeah. Continue.
1.4, leading to enlightenment. Sati will allow them to also understand how their mind stir via their delusion to react to sense experiences to arise the craving or their evil roots to condition their own suffering. This is how pure land chanting can also lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. Note, sati is awareness or mindfulness before the knowing, and samadhi is the collected and unwavering silent mind. 1.5, cultivation of the five spiritual faculties facilitates meditation. Sada or faith will make your mind confident, composed and very calm, hence no more restlessness and doubt. And when there is virya, you will not be sleepy anymore, because this virya or spiritual zeal will drive you to diligently cultivate. Then, when you have sati, you are not heedless anymore. You are mindful and always aware, and your mind is always with the moment in sati, and when you stabilize it, samadhi will arise. With samadhi established, the mind will be collected and unwavering. Hence, it can see things as they are to understand the truth and the reality leading to wisdom. Once these five spiritual faculties are in place, your mental hindrances will be gone. Then you will automatically know how to meditate. 1.6, mind and chanting as one. That's why when they chant and chant until that Bohao or the Buddha's name and the awareness become one, i.e. mind and the chanting as one, like there is no one to chant, just an awareness of the chanting, of the vibration, then their sati will stabilize. At that time, they will be very different because the five spiritual faculties that are so stable will transform them. Then, throughout the day, even when they are not chanting the Buddha's name, they will also have that type of heedful mind. It will be like chant with awareness by itself. Sometimes they don't chant also, it will be there. 1.7, awareness of the chanting. There was this very soothing and continuous chanting of Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo in its background. So as I listened to that chanting, which was repeated many times on the background, I was also able to follow and chant it so naturally and so mindfully. I can chant it until it becomes very clear to me. Then one day, while I was driving, all of a sudden, this chanting just arise from inside my brain. Then there was such clarity that I stopped my car somewhere and silenced my mind to listen to it. It was like the mind and the chanting was in complete harmony and synchrony as one. I remember initially I was chanting, then all of a sudden, it was like no one is chanting. Then everything stopped. Then somewhere underneath my brain, from behind the chanting, automatically come out, and the mindfulness on it was so stable and so clear, and it just stay there, fully aware of everything. That's how I come to know this type of pure land chanting can also develop the five spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati and Samadhi, leading to the wisdom and how the mind can become one with it. And there was a realization that there was no one chanting, and the nature within is just aware, fully aware. The chanting just repeats itself, and there was just an awareness of it. So the real chanting is very different because there is no one to chant it. It is just a mind that is aware of phenomena, whether it is physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. In this case, it is a mental phenomenon.
Okay, very good. So now you understand. Huh? That's why if you have affinity or this great being in the past, like the Amitabha or how. So even this time you look at Alicia, he got that one, affinity. Then, like she mentioned, the chanting keep on coming out, non-stop. Oh. Sometimes throughout the lying down, the whole night. And song also went to this Ajahn Anand there, Wat Mahajan. The singing, it just come out. Then that thing activate the whole thing. Then it started to let him develop the ability to connect at the heart area. Then after that, he become different. So if your affinity develop to respect, to like chanting, to like having faith and sincerely chant to cultivate affinity, all these great beings, they have their vows on the self. They don't have to be around. Like Guan Yin said, whoever who call upon her for how or whatever, even gate, gate, paragate, there will be a response. You must call upon it sincerely and with faith. There will be a response. That's why this line, Guan Yin's nature came and helped protect my form and mind. Three occasions. Otherwise, this one would have been gone. So, once you understand, all these are possible. Okay? Yeah. Continue.
1.8. Cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. All these are possible when you have properly developed all these spiritual faculties until they are very stable. Then, even in the midst of your daily life, your mind will be very different because of the stability of your sati and samadhi. You will be able to see your mental intentions, your aggregates of mind, like your feelings, perceptions, activities of mind, emotions, mind states, etc., including the consciousness. Then you will also see your mental and physical flows, and after that, you will be able to use it to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, and your wisdom will keep on arising. The four foundations of mindfulness cultivation will bring forth the enlightenment, because the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness will accumulate into the cultivation of the four noble truths. Then the fourth noble truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, is the Noble Eightfold Path because it leads to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So finally, whatever meditation you do, if it does not lead you back to the four foundations of mindfulness, the four noble truths and the Noble Eightfold Path, then it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. 1.9. Cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Caution. If you think chanting alone is the meditation, then you can be deceived. The chanting is just a technique or a skillful means to initially train your mind to develop the five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, needed to overcome the five mental hindrances. After that, only the real meditation begins. That is, after your five spiritual faculties had been cultivated and your daily mindfulness stabilized, then only the real meditation, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path via daily mindfulness, can begin. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, we had the Samasati Path factor, which is the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, which is also the focus of our Dharma discussion. 2.0. Understanding the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Hope this is clear. And that is also the reason why I had always advised you all that meditation is to be done with understanding. Otherwise, you are wasting your time and you cannot progress because you are not focused and you are actually doing it without the proper understanding. So be very clear about the whole teaching, pariyatti, or the learning of the doctrine or teaching. It's the first phase of the Dharma cultivation. Only after having a very clear understanding of the Dharma, then only can one put the Dharma into practice in daily life effectively, leading to the second phase of the Dharma cultivation, which is patipatti. Be patient with pariyatti. Otherwise, one becomes gullible when cultivating patipatti. 2.1, heedfulness is equal to sati plus noble eightfold path cultivation. One must understand that the essence of Buddha teaching is the Four Noble Truths and how from there all the other teachings come to be. How and why the Buddha highlighted the importance of heedfulness via Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23. And why one must understand what heedfulness is. Heedfulness is equal to ever mindful plus constantly meditative to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path or meditation as taught by the Buddha, as defined by the Buddha's Dhammapada verse 23. 2.2, sati, first factor of enlightenment. That's the reason why the first factor of enlightenment is sati, because without sati, there is no meditation, and without sati, there is no heedfulness. And according to Dhammapada, verse 21, without heedfulness, you are heedless, and the heedless are as if dead spiritually. All these are very clear. So to develop the meditation, one must initially train one's mind to be heedful. 2.3, stabilize the mind sati to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. This is also the reason why the first category of training of the first foundation of mindfulness, kaya nupassana, is anapanasati, which is just to train the mind to be mindful or aware of the in and out breath, to do just that. Then stabilize it and use it to cultivate mindfulness of the four postures, leading to the daily mindfulness to develop all the other subsequent four foundations of mindfulness training and cultivation. 3.0, pitfalls of thought-based meditation. When you understand all this, you will know how to proceed. Otherwise, you will deviate, because most living beings are gullible. They thought meditation is some form of fantasy or light, something very mystical. Then, when they meditate and develop some form of special experience that other people don't experience, then they think this is very special. Then they will attach and cling. And they want to know, is it a sign that I have achieved or realized? That's how one deviates, because they don't understand what their focus is. They don't inquire to find out what is meditation. When you don't have a clear understanding of what you do, you will end up keep deviating. Then you may also end up having fantasy about meditation. That's how many cultivators or meditators got trapped. And the other danger is they cannot see thought. They cannot see the danger of thought. They cannot understand what sati is. And because sati is beyond thought, and if you continue to allow thought to come in and distract you, then it will become thought-based meditation instead of mindfulness-based meditation. All of thought meditation will not bring you the meditation results that you are looking for, because what you want to realize is Dharma, which is akaliko. Akaliko. Akaliko means timeless. This Dharma is beyond thought, beyond time. So if the instrument you use to meditate is thought, you cannot reach it, because you are limited by the instrument you use to develop the meditation. So with this, I think it should be very clear by now, and you shouldn't make the same mistake again. By now, you all should start to understand why I keep on emphasizing in the past that meditation had to be done with understanding. You don't just blindly follow instructions, just like what the Buddha told the Kalama. You should not believe what the spiritual teacher tells you, not even the Buddha himself. You have to investigate and find out. Then, when you understand, you will be very clear. Your mind will be very different, and you will know how to proceed with the cultivation. Otherwise, you become gullible.
Okay, thank you. The alarm went off already just now. I think it's time for lunch. So we all rejoin. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we pay respect mindfully. Yeah? Then after that, you can go for your lunch. Yeah?